let's take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter 22. In our previous sessions concerning Jesus Christ, our Passover, we saw that Jesus Christ had made preparation to eat the Passover meal with his disciples, but that this was prior to his being informed by God of the timing of his death. By the time we get to the Last Supper, as we saw in our last session, Jesus Christ knows that he's going to die at the time that the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed by the nation of Israel. Now, the Last Supper occurred on our Monday evening. It was after sunset, the time which would have begun the 13th of Nisan. And it's called the Last Supper, accurately, because this is the last time that Jesus Christ ate with his disciples. It's the last recorded time they ate anything before his crucifixion and death. Very, very significant things occurred at the Last Supper. We saw that the memorial of Holy Communion was initiated. There's also extensive discussion of the betrayal of Jesus by Judas Iscariot. Jesus Christ sets a tremendous example for all of us Christians who follow by washing his disciples' feet. What an example of service, of doing the lowliest task of a servant to bless, to help. And really, when you stop and think of it, for us, any task that we get to do for the Lord is so privileged, is so wonderful, that we should, you know, certainly be humble and meek to the Father's will, like Jesus Christ was. Now, another topic that's initiated is in Luke chapter 22, and this would have followed his washing the disciples' feet. It says in verse 24, it says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." Something. "And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as that he doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat, or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat, but I am among you as one, as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You know, quite a lesson. Jesus Christ is responding to the strife that was among them about which of them would be the greatest. And then he continues to teach about being meek as a Christian servant. But then he ties together the current supper, Last Supper, of a future supper that will occur in glory, where the 12 apostles will sit on thrones judging Israel. That's recorded in the book of Revelation. So lots of teaching here, but again, with the encouragement, with the, you know, very strong example of Jesus Christ to serve. And then another topic that comes up is in John chapter 13. You know, as we've worked through this material, one thing that just jumps out at us from the pages is how much Jesus Christ taught the Word of God. He was a teacher. That's what he did. He just taught. And this is will come out very extensively here as we continue our study of the Last Supper. In John chapter 13, in verse 30, it says, "He then, having received the sop," this is referring to Judas Iscariot, "went immediately out, and it was night." That's where we concluded our previous session. "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I have said unto the Jews, whither I go you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And this love that's referred to here is agape, that pure, unconditional love of God. So a new commandment is initiated here at the Last Supper, and it's that we love as Jesus Christ has loved us, that we would love one another in the same fashion. Boy, you talk about the highest standard of people loving with the love of God. How about that one? Then the record goes on in verse 36. "Simon Peter said unto him, 'Lord, whither goest thou?' Jesus answered him, 'Whither I go, ye cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards.'" Certainly these words would have been hard for Peter to understand. But what this is, of course, talking about is that Jesus Christ is going to go through his death and crucifixion, but also his resurrection and glory. It's really quite a promise to Peter that Peter's going to be able to follow him unto that everlasting life. And in this, what was spoken to Peter, we'll have to put together a couple records. Look at Luke 22. See Peter's response in Luke chapter 22, in verse 31. It says, "And the Lord said, 'Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you, to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith, thy believing, fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.'" Boy, oh boy, Jesus Christ is warning Peter that, you know, Satan, you know, is trying to work in his life. He's trying to sift him as wheat. But Jesus Christ had prayed for him that once he was converted, that when the new birth came, that he would then strengthen his brethren. Certainly this prayer of Jesus Christ got answered, didn't it, during the book of Acts? And then it says verse 33, "And he said unto him, 'Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death.'" Boy, Peter was committed, wasn't he? Verse 34, "And he said, 'I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me.'" You know, in our previous session, we saw that a significant part of the Last Supper was Jesus Christ speaking of him that would deny him. Him that would betray him, speaking of Judas Iscariot. Now it's speaking to Peter directly of Peter denying the Lord. You know, when I read these records, you know, Judas Iscariot betraying Jesus Christ to be murdered, and then of Peter denying the Lord that he even knew him. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever betrayed you? Has anybody ever denied you? You know, anybody, you know, say a close associate or friend that denies that they even know you? But this is what occurred at the Last Supper by two of Jesus Christ's closest disciples, closest associates, two of his 12 apostles, Judas Iscariot, who has left the supper to betray him, and Peter, who during the events of this night will deny him. You know, this would have been extremely difficult for Jesus Christ. Think of the emotion involved in this thing. He was a human being. This really, I think, as you read through it, you can see that this is part of the sufferings that Christ went through. Being betrayed, being denied. You know, this is just almost unbelievable. Well, it says in verse 36, well, verse 35, Jesus goes on to instruct them, and he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Remember when he had sent them out to preach the word to Israel? He asked, "When I sent you out, did you lack anything?" They said, "No." It says in verse 36, "But he said unto them, But now," see, this, times have changed. Israel has rejected the Messiah. "But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." You know, a little different times than when Jesus and his followers were declaring the kingdom of God to Israel. Now he's saying things have changed. You know, you got to take care of yourself, make preparation, you know, including even buying a sword. "For I say unto you that this is written must be accomplished in me, and he that was reckoned among the transgressors for the things concerning me hath an end." And they said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." And he said unto them, "It is enough." Look at Luke chapter 20, or excuse me, we are in Luke chapter 22. Let's go back to John chapter 13, please. See, all this occurred at the time, the occasion of the Last Supper. In John chapter 13, it says, again, recounting this discourse between Jesus Christ and Simon Peter that we read in the Gospel of John, "Simon said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered, "Whither I go, ye cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, I cannot follow thee now. I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for thy sake? Verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Again, we've read this previous in the Gospel of Luke. Now, what follows in John chapter 14 is a very extensive teaching that Jesus Christ did to conclude this Last Supper. We're going to conclude this particular session in consideration of the Last Supper by just simply reading John chapter 14. But again, this is continued teaching that occurred at this location, the Last Supper. It says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Boy, think of the soothing, the peace that this must have brought to their hearts. Because, man, I could think that their hearts would be getting agitated, huh? With all this talk about denial and betrayal and taking swords. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, or how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have also known my Father. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth thee. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Look at the great truths that Jesus Christ is teaching. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Wow. You know, the promise that we, the believers, the ones that believe on him, shall do the same works that Jesus Christ did during the gospel period. And not only that, but that we would do even greater works. The greater to come of the utterance manifestations, the greater to come of assisting people to the new birth. Man, oh man, look at the truth that's spoken here. Look at the teaching. This is all a part of the Last Supper. And then it says, And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he, this Comforter, the Holy Spirit, may abide with you how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. You know, man, God in Christ was dwelling with them at this time. But the time of him being with them was very, very short. But the promise is that there's coming a day where he shall be in you, God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Certainly he did on the day of Pentecost. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Boy, that day, of course, is the coming of Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. And it got them to the point that they knew that they knew that they knew that Christ was in them, because they had the proof. They were doing the greater works that Jesus Christ had spoken of in verse 12 when they spoke in tongues. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, now this is not Judas Iscariot as it says, another Judas, saith unto him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, It will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave you with, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I'll not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. This concludes the Last Supper, because it says, arise, let us go hence. It's from this point that they arise and go unto the Mount of Olives, where the Garden of Gethsemane is located. This is where Jesus Christ prays. If there's any other way for redemption to be accomplished, let this cup pass from me, in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is also the location that Judas Iscariot leads the chief priests and the Romans to capture, to arrest Jesus Christ. But significantly, as we started into our study of the 13th of Nisan, look at what was handled. Look at the diverse topics. Look at the incredible teaching and lessons of the Last Supper. So, at the end of the Last Supper, Jesus Christ said, arise, let us go hence. And they leave the location of the Last Supper. And along the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ continues to teach. In this particular class, we're not going to take the time to read all that he teaches and did on his way to the garden, but you can in John chapter 15 and 16, because his teaching ministry continues, and also the incredible prayer of John 17, because these events occur between the time of the Last Supper and the events of the Garden of Gethsemane. So in our next session, we will look at Jesus Christ in the garden and then the arrest of our Lord and Savior.